Senate Bill 53, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the reunification of an abused or neglected child with a parent and the subsequent termination of parental rights.
Madam President.
Senate Bill 53, up for final remarks. Senator Dugard.
Thank you, Madam President. As many of you may know, in the 1970s, federal law required all states to enact legislation requiring children who have been removed from homes where abuse and neglect had occurred to be requiring the states to exercise efforts to reunify these children with their parents after they have been rehabilitated. These laws were enacted in furtherance of family preservation, and this was a noble idea and remains a noble idea. Today in South Dakota, there are over 1,000 children who do not live with their parents who have been removed from their family homes by the state because of abuse or neglect. Most of them are in foster homes. Some are in relative placements. But in most of those cases, the families will go through rehabilitation efforts, and those children will be reunified with their families. In a small number of cases, however, there are circumstances which cause the court, cause child protection and others to be concerned that the efforts to reunify with these parents would be fruitless, and that the time lost while the child languishes in foster care is injurious to the child, and indeed parental rights should be terminated, and efforts to reunify the children and their parents should not be pursued. Federal law, when this overarching legislation was passed, allowed the states and continues to allow the states to establish circumstances in which efforts to reunify the children and their parents need not be required of the state. That is, the judges would have the discretion to require them or not. Absent these circumstances, judges must require that the state try to reunify these children with their parents. Senate Bill 53 is an effort to expand the number of circumstances or the set of circumstances under which judges would have the discretion to forego requiring reunification of abused and neglected children with their parents. There's two sections to Senate Bill 53, and they're essentially identical. Section 1 talks about those circumstances where the judge has the option of requiring reunification efforts, but need not require them necessarily. Section 2 essentially provides that in those circumstances, parental rights can be terminated. And that makes sense. If you're not going to try and reunify, then parental rights should be terminated. So if you understand the circumstances listed in Section 1, you'll also understand the circumstances listed in Section 2 because they're identical. So let me just run through those circumstances where, again, the state will not be required to make reunification attempts, but the judge still has the authority to require them if the judge believes it's prudent. The first case is in Section 1, where in the case of rape or kidnapping, if a parent has committed rape or kidnapping, the state will not necessarily be required to reunify. Again, the judge has the option of requiring it. In Section 2, where there has been aggravated assault, and that has occurred in another jurisdiction before the parent and child came to South Dakota, if the parent has been convicted of aggravated assault and is a violent person, the state will not be required to reunify. Again, the judge has that option. In Section 3, the parent has been determined by a court by clear and convincing evidence to have subjected the child or another child to torture, sexual abuse, abandonment, chronic physical, mental, or emotional injury, or chronic neglect. Section 4, the parent is incarcerated and is unavailable to care for the child during a significant portion of the child's minority, considering the child's age and the child's need for care by an adult. Then dropping down to Part 7 under Section 1, has exposed the child to or has demonstrated an inability to protect the child from substantial harm, or part eight, has exposed the child to or demonstrated an inability to protect the child from substantial harm or the risk of substantial harm, and the child has been removed from the parent's custody on two separate occasions. In other words, the state's removed the child, they reunified them, abuse and neglect has occurred again, the state's removed the child, they've reunified them, and abuse and neglect has occurred a third time. And in that third case, the state would not be required to attempt reunification. In the first two instances, they are. And number nine, has exposed the child to or demonstrated an inability to protect the child from substantial risk or harm resulting from a crime, act, or omission as specified in subdivision 1, 2, or 3 of this section, which again was rape, kidnapping, aggravated assault, or those listed in subpart 3, torture, sexual abuse, abandonment, chronic physical, mental, or emotional injury, or chronic neglect. So those are all the circumstances now that are being added to our current statute. And in those circumstances, again, if this bill passes, the state would not be required to try to reunify this child with their parent. Again, the judge would have discretion to require it if the judge believed it should be done. But we believe that in most cases, and the Office of Child Protection believes that in many cases, it would be fruitless and indeed injurious to the child to have them plug back into what all parties concerned would agree is an abusive and neglectful home. And to protect the child, the reunification efforts should not be required. I think it's important to put a face on some of these laws. So let me just tell you some specific situations in South Dakota which have arisen. As many of you know, I work at Children's Home Society, and I've experienced face-to-face contact with some of these children. Kello Television, just last month, had a special on two seven-year-old children at Children's Home Society in Sioux Falls. One of them is a little girl named Emily. Emily was beaten with a belt and with a coat hanger, she and her siblings. Her parents often had parties at their home, and the children in their infancy as toddlers were encouraged to drink from beer bottles. And Emily described one instance where her mother laughed when Emily was encouraged to drink out of a beer bottle with a cigarette butt in it. Now, this is the kind of parent where the state comes in and removes a child, and in some of these circumstances, in most cases, is required to make reunification efforts. Another example, a three-year-old little boy and his four-year-old little brother are living with their mother and her boyfriend, and the boyfriend beats the three-year-old to death. And the four-year-old is removed from this home, and the mother continues to have a relationship with this boyfriend, and the state is required to try to reunify the mother with her four-year-old child. Another circumstance like this, where children are removed from a home after a mother's boyfriend abuses them, and the mother promises she's going to take better care of the children, the state reunifies the children, the mother is found with the boyfriend in the home again, the children are taken away again. The mother promises she's going to break this abusive relationship off with the boyfriend. They reunify the family a third time. The boyfriend is found in the family again. These are just a few of many examples where the pendulum is swung to the side of parental rights to their children as property, and the rights of parents are elevated above the rights of children who deserve a safe, secure environment within which to grow. I urge the support of Senate Bill 53, and I would be pleased to answer any questions.
Thank you. Further remarks? Further remarks? Senator DeHulig.
Thank you, Madam President. I have a question for the sponsor.
State your question.
Senator Dugard, can you explain what's meant by reunification efforts on the part of state government? What's involved in the attempts to reunify a parent and a child?
Sure.
Senator Dugard, do you choose to respond?
Yes, I do. Thank you for the question, Senator. Children are removed from their homes by law enforcement most of the time, and they have authority to do that. And then within a 48-hour period, there must be a hearing to determine whether or not reasonable cause existed to do that. And in most cases, that is established. And then there begins a period of time within which the court must determine if the parents and the children should be reunified. And in fact, the state Office of Child Protection must demonstrate that they have taken steps and made efforts to reunify the children and to rehabilitate the behaviors of the parents that caused the children to be removed in the first place. For example, parents are severely alcoholic. That's very typical. And the parents are going to take alcohol treatment courses, and they're going to complete them and stay sober, and then they're going to thereby demonstrate that they are capable of parenting, and the children are returned. And again, probably 90% of the time that children are removed from their homes, reunification attempts are made, and reunification does in fact occur. It's these more extreme cases where even though the parents are not demonstrating a willingness to rehabilitate themselves, or where it's patently nominal, their efforts are gestures, and yet the circuit court looks at the law and says, we are required to have these parents and the state work together. Another example would be an infant is born, and I described this in caucus. An infant is born, a 10-month-old baby is in the car when the mother and father commit burglary. They're caught. The father is sentenced to 20 years in prison, eligible for parole in 2007. Mother is eligible for parole approximately 3 years later, in 2001. During the time that these parents are in prison, the state is required to drive the infant from their foster home to the women's prison periodically so the incarcerated mother can have contact with her child. And this goes on for nearly 3 years, at which time ultimately parental rights are terminated. But during that 2.5-year period, this child was in limbo. And I don't know personally from this case whether the child went from foster home to foster home or what, but it certainly was not available for adoption. And in that case, I submit that the needs of that child during that crucial development period are much greater than the need of that mother to have the right to receive that infant back when she got out of jail 3 years later. So maybe that's a little more extensive than you asked for, but I hope that was responsive.
Further remarks? Further remarks? Senator DeHulig.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Dugard, so if I understand, you know, this is kind of an emotional subject. And for those of us who deal with this kind of business on a regular basis in the legal arena, it can be very unpleasant and very heartbreaking. But nonetheless, when you look at the bill in just a plain reading of the bill, am I correct in assuming that what we're really talking about here is two things? We're talking about relieving the State Department of Social Services from the obligation to work towards reunification of a parent and a child in the situation where the child has been removed from the home for whatever reason by the Department of Social Services. Isn't that correct?
For these specified reasons only.
That's correct. We're not talking about whether or not the Department of Social Services has the statutory, the legal authority to go in and remove that child. We're
no.
talking about the ministerial task that is subsequent to the removal that requires the department personnel to go out there and to do whatever they can to reunify this child with the parent. Correct?
Madam President.
Senator Dugard.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Madam President, second part of my question then would be, Senator Dugard, not only are we doing that in this piece of legislation, but we are affecting, we are changing what is listed as good cause for termination of parental rights. Isn't that true?
Senator Dugard.
Yes, that's true. And in fact, it does make all kinds of sense, because if the state is not going to work to reunify the child and the parent, it makes sense that parental rights should be terminated.
Senator Tehuick, you have the floor. Are there other questions? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final consideration of Senate Bill 53. As your name is called, those in favor say aye, those opposed nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
Apa?
Aye.
Boag?
Aye.
Brose?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
DeHewitt?
Aye.
Dennard?
Aye.
Diedrich Larry?
Aye.
Diedrich Elmer?
Aye.
Drake?
Aye.
Duxbury?
Aye.
Everest?
Aye.
Greenfield? Hagen?
Aye.
Hange?
Aye.
Ham?
Aye.
Huttmacher?
No.
Cleven?
Aye.
Ketzel?
Aye.
Koskin?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
McIntyre?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Munson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Reedy?
Aye.
Staggers?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Vitter?
Aye.
Valesky?
Aye.
Whiting?
Aye.
Madam President, ayes 33, nays 2.
The motion is received, the majority vote of the members elect, and Senate Bill 53 is declared passed.